your Bibles and go there. Let you know where...
Somebody's got a Bible.
Do you need a Bible? It's right in front of you.
Somebody done stole the
Somebody
Bible.
Done took, left you nothing but hymn book. My God. So they broke into church, stole the Bible.
That's
okay. If they want to do that, they can take every one. We'll get new ones. Ones with bigger print. You know, those pew Bibles, have y'all noticed that those are teensy? Teensy. The letters in there, I mean, they are small.
Isn't that odd?
It is. And we're not young anymore. My favorite version of the Bible is King James, and the favorite, what do you call a typeset is large. I need big words. And so, really and truly, see how thick this Bible is? It's only the New Testament. No. Anyhow, praise God. Let's go and just ask His favor on the word that we're going to study tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your word.
Yes.
Lord God, how You have called us into Your righteousness, how You have desired us to walk in Your love. And Lord, I thank You for that. I lift up this congregation before You, Father. Just speak to us tonight. Help us see where we are in this world and help us know how to love the lost. Share Your grace through us, Father, that we can reach the hurting and that we can heal the sick, Father, and that the deaf and the blind can see and hear Your glory. And Lord, I thank You and I praise You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul's writing here to the church, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Boy, that you ought to have that put on your mirror.
Amen.
Every morning, when you wake up in the morning, you're brushing the scabs off your teeth, you're getting all that stuff all foamed up, and you know, and in there you say, "All right, today I'm going to be a follower of God, just like a dear child. I'm going to follow Him around, just daddy, 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 daddy. Everywhere He goes, I'm going to go. Everything He does, I'm going to do. I'm going to mock Him. I'm going to, what's another
imitate.
Word? Imitate. That's good. That's too many syllables for me tonight. So I'm going to do what He, copy Him. I'm going to do what He does. Amen? And that's what Paul is writing to the church, that we need to do that. And he tells us to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So that walking in love, what does walking in love look like? Do you think we got it? Do you think we can get a grip on it? Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know this as the way of love chapter, right? Because when you really look at what the Bible talks about as love, I believe in our day and time that we have missed that mark. All right? Because God has an identification of what love really looks like. Love doesn't look like lust. Love doesn't look like just always going around with a happy, silly smirk on your face. Love is a real, tangible thing that touches a heart. And when you're walking in that love, it affects the people that are around you. They can see it in you. They can hear it in your voice. And there's a reality to it. And so when you go through this love chapter, charity, that means love, Paul writes in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians there, and I'll just pick up in verse 3 and come forward. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity," this is agape, that means love, okay, "it profiteth me nothing." So that lets you know that your works, if they're not in a right heart, does not work. It doesn't profit anything. And so even if you give your whole life, give all your money to feed the poor, you just pour your life out into other people, but you don't have the right heart about it, there is no everlasting fruit that will come out of it. So he says in verse 4, "Charity suffereth long." All right, now ask yourself, how long do I put up with the unlovely people in my life?
Forever.
Don't look at him like
that. Till
they get changed. Right? And so, but honestly, think about that. The folks who rub you wrong.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easy to get along with folks you get along with.
Yeah.
How about the folks you don't get along with? You know, because there are people that it's just hard to get along with.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it says we're supposed to suffer long with them. That means you go the extra mile. That means you reach out way beyond what the world would say is an enough and you love them past that. And the interesting thing about suffering long with somebody, it may not ever change them, but you know what it does continually? It changes me, right? It builds patience in me, that tribulation of putting up with stubborn folks. It builds me up. That's why we're supposed to love for a long time, suffer for a long time with those folks. And he says, love is kind, or charity is kind. Being kind to one another.
Yeah.
Be ye kind to one another. We need to, especially in the body of Christ, to prefer each other over ourselves.
Amen.
You know, to give everything that God has given to us back fourfold to anybody else, that, especially those who are of the faith. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't love the lost. We are to love the lost. But the church ought to have a special niche there. I mean, I can love a lot of people, but I love my kids a little different, right? I love my grand. I love all the little children that come here. I love all the old folks that come here, too. But my grandkids, they're a little different, right? They're just a little different. And so anyhow, but we're supposed to be kind. He says, charity envieth not. You know, so I don't covet what you have. I'm not envious over you. I'm not worried about that. Now ask yourself, does my love look like that? All right, so in all of these things that we're going to look at with love that is a sweet savor to God from Ephesians, that type of love, that type of charity, put your name in there. All right, so you read it back like this. Curtis suffereth long. Is that a truth or a lie? Curtis is kind. Is that truth or a lie? Do I envy or do I not envy? Do I vaunteth myself or brag about myself? All right? Because charity vaunteth itself not, or not itself. It's not puffed up. That means arrogant. Do we love in arrogancy? I'll love in you if you love me back. I'll do good for you if you do something for me. And Jesus didn't do that. He loved the unlovely. He was a friend to the sinners. He went to where the drunkards and the prostitutes and the people, the lepers, the folks who were hurting. And I like the idea of Jesus going to the leper colonies, or to where the lepers, the unclean people were.
Amen.
Because they were in a situation that they didn't cause by themselves. They were rotting on the outside, and Jesus went there and he loved them. He ministered to them. He put his life into their life. The madman of Gadara, he had to go there to meet this demon-possessed fella and talk to the legions of demons that were in him just to set him free. Jesus loved that person just that much. Do we, as Christians, love one another and even love the world this way? Or do we get all caught up in our own imaginations and our own thoughts? It says, love, or charity, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Well, I feel in this. I don't know about you guys. Y'all might have this down pat. But this verse right here, I have it pricks me in the heart every time I read it, because I know in this verse, I fall short of where I need to be, right? It says, doesn't behave itself unseemly. If any of y'all have been around me much, I do some unseemly things. You know, I tell coarse jokes. You know, I'm not smooth around the edges, and I don't beat around the bushes. I just kind of kick the stump when it comes up. You know, and sometimes that puts people off, right? And I need to be more careful about that. But he says, doesn't act itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. No, we don't do that. Is not easily provoked. I'm provoked pretty easy. I really am. You can get on my bad side quick. It doesn't take much. I mean, you can ask my wife about that. She and I don't have any problems, so that's not what I'm saying. But she's seen me hit and beat up some pretty inanimate objects. Okay, snow blowers in the middle of the winter. Over at the other church building, we had somebody that just kept flushing huge amounts of toilet paper and getting the toilet stopped up every Sunday. And so I'd have to go in there, and I got tired of it one day, and I was trying to pull the toilet, and it fell and slipped out of my hand, and I just got mad, and I grabbed the door, and I ripped the door in half and kicked it off the hinges. I've broken three computers you know, because they didn't work right, and I'll punch the screen so hard and knock them right off the cabinets. You know, it just, you know, it provokes me, and it doesn't take a lot. Something that doesn't work right the first time for me, or first or second time, I have no problem hitting it with a hammer. All right, did it work or didn't? One or the other.
See, I don't want to hit me other than me.
I don't do that to humans. Just things. There's just some things that get underneath my skin pretty quick, you know. And this is Kevin. You there too?
Yeah, man.
Amen.
I'm hearing this loud and clear.
Yeah. But when we're loving the way that Christ loves, those things don't bother us. You know, when we're really filled with that compassion, that charity, that love, and this is really for people, not for inanimate objects, right?
Amen.
And so, and it thinks no evil, you know, doesn't think evil about somebody else. And we were talking in men's group, or after men's group last night, about speaking evil about the dignitaries, all right? And I know I'm guilty of that. I talk about Cuomo like he's my whipping boy, you know, and Pelosi and all those communists that are in our government, you know. But that's not what the Bible says we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to speak evil of that person. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to bless them. We're supposed to lift them up before the Lord. I have not made it, okay? I have not made it, but I need to persevere towards that mark, right? And God's working on that. And it says, it does not rejoice, charity, love does not rejoice in iniquity. And it does, but rejoices in truth. Love that bears all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, and endures all things. Charity, that real love, never faileth. But where there are prophecies, they shall fail, and whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, but we see prophecy in part. Right? And then when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. All right. So here, thinking about the place in Ephesians that we were, chapter 4, about loving the way that we're supposed to, or chapter 5, loving in that manner, to walk in that love that was just described in 1 Corinthians, to walk in that ability to suffer long with people, to walk in that ability not to be easily provoked by anger, to walk in love instead of criticizing somebody else. When we get that going, and I'm not saying this is for your salvation, this is to improve you as a human being, right? That's as God put these words, that our lives can be that sweet-smelling savor as Christ was. See, Jesus, He loved those people. He went to those people. He gave His life for a sinner like us. He had great compassion. And He tells us to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Think about that. Just this, that little bit of Scripture right there. How did Jesus love you? How did Jesus love you? When you think of that, you think of the innocent, the perfect Lamb of God willingly, freely, going to the cross, willingly, freely giving His back to the scourgers, right? To be flogged, to be beaten for my sin, to have people spit on Him so I wouldn't have to be spit on. Man, that's how much did God love you?
Yeah.
When you start wrapping your mind around that and you start getting a grip on it, you realize how short we have come to the mark.
Amen.
And how much room we have for improvement in our lives. And we can do it because the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Right, sister? The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. And so the more we focus our lives on Jesus Christ, we focus our work, our walk, our attitudes on God, He starts changing us. That continual sanctification.
Amen.
He brings to my heart, to my mind, the things that need to be done away with. And then He shows me, teaches me, trains me, right? What is that? I think it's Psalm 66, where God has trained my hands for war. Or is that Psalm 114? I don't know. I read a lot of Psalms today. I was one of them. So I read from 66 to 114, if you want to know. but it was in there somewhere, that God had trained my hands for war. Now, he's talking about a battle against other people, but there's a war that goes on inside of me every day. There's a war that goes in me and on me in such a manner that I need to fight it with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that's being armored up with the armor of God that we'll get into next week, the Lord willing, we get past this first verse tonight. Right.
Faithful is he who calls you, he'll do it.
Amen.
And we'll get there.
We will. We will get there. You know, because he's not going to quit working on us. Yeah. Now, and we just need to make sure that we stay in line with his word. We need to be submitted to him, walking with him, obeying him, doing, loving the way that he told us to love. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. No man's ever hated his own flesh, but he tends to it. He cares for it. Mm-hmm. I'm taking myself out to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You know, I need a Whopper. Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever, you know. You want something bad enough, you do it, right? You need something bad enough, you take care. Because you love your body. You got a splinter, you'll dig at it until you get it out. You ain't just going to let it sit there and fester. And so you love people in that same manner. And as we do it, it's... And Jesus, he offered himself as an offering, as sacrifice to God. Are you willing to do that with your life? Right here in 2020, 2021, right as we're coming up into this, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to the Most High God. You know, there's not my will, way, but it's his will that needs to be done. As Jesus prayed in the garden before his passion, and it was like great slips of blood was dripping off of him. He was breaking in agony. He said, not my will, Father. Not my will, but you. If there's any way to take this cup away, do that. But if there is no other way, I am your willing servant. I will do what you ask me to.
Amen.
Even to the cross. And we as Christians need to have that. That way our lives will be that sweet-smelling savor, you know. To be a sweet-smelling savor is steak. You know, I like a good-smelling grilled steak while you walk and just, boy, I smelling sweet savor. Boy, I just, you don't need nothing on there but a fork. And so, and that's what God wants out of us.
Amen.
The things that make his nostrils just flare in his heart, anticipate what's happening in your life. And we can do that through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can do that as you love the way that Christ loved you. That's what makes the difference. And as you do that, you'll find out that all these things that we're about ready to talk about in the next few verses become less important to your flesh,
mm-hmm,
because you're walking closer in the Spirit.
That's right.
And these next verses from 3 through 5, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And I believe it was the New King James that I read this. It said coarse jesting right here. Okay? And so neither nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That ought to shiver your timbers, right? Because we've been talking over the last couple of weeks on Sunday about the inheritance, about being an overcomer. Revelation 21:7 talks about the overcomer is the one who receives the inheritance, right? And that inheritance is God being with his people and his people being their God. And they're together. They're in that tight unity. And I'm not too worried about the streets of gold and all. I think once you get there, that's good. Who cares? I don't care about that. What I will care about is that I'm in the presence of the most holy God. And this sinner will put on sinlessness. Amen? The first day you wake up in the presence of the Lord, you don't have to worry about ever sinning again. But until then, you got to fight that battle, right? You got to fight the desire of fornication, of uncleanness, of covetousness, you know, desiring things that don't belong to you, right? And you got to fight those things and fight them fiercely. Because anybody who does these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying you trip into it or you step into it. Anybody here ever walk through a cow field? Every once in a while you step in something, right? It's not that you meant to step in something. You're just walking through the cow field. No. There it is, right? And if you're barefooted, you're very... You recognize it quickly, right? But anyhow, so it's not that a Christian will never do any of these things, because you will. It's going to happen sooner or later. You're going. Your mind's going to do what your mind's going to do, and your eyes are going to go where your eyes want to go. But when you do that, don't stay there.
Amen.
You confess it to the Lord. You bring it before His throne, and you say, God, yes. I looked too long. I stayed too long. I drank instead of one glass of wine. It was that second bottle that got me, right? And so, because there's nothing wrong with drinking a glass of wine with your meal. Absolutely. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. Unless you're a deacon, you should not be drinking, period. And if you're a pastor, you should not be drinking. Because you need to have the full faculties of your brain all the time, right? And plus what it makes the unbeliever or the church see in you. You know, you're supposed to put anything that is in you that even appears to be unrighteous away from you.
Amen. Amen.
No, I'm not advocating drinking. Please don't get me wrong, because somebody will go out and say, well, Pastor told me I could go get drunk. No, I didn't. I did not tell you that. I said if you have a drink with your meal, that's not something that's horrible, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But if you stay in the bottle, there is something wrong with that, right? And so anyhow, he says, fornication or uncleanness or covetousness, not once being named among you. And then when he comes down here, he says that a covetous man or an idolater hath any inheritance hath... Okay, verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. You know that's mentioned twice more in the New Testament, three times more. Once in the Revelation it talks about it, Jesus does. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, it talks about if you do such things, or even if you agree with those who do such things, you've got to look at the list. They knew God, but they did not honor Him as God, and their minds became darkened because of their evil works. And then it goes through a list of things that they did. And then they say, at the very end of that in 32, well, let me go there and just read it. So I'm playing off the top of my mind here, and I don't know about y'all, but my mind sometimes goes whizzing. And so we'll get back in the Word of God. Amen. The simple stuff. And verse 22 of Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of God to uncorruptible God, unto the image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed things and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to do and dishonor their bodies between themselves. 32, I said, I'm reading the wrong spot. 32, not 22. So 32 says, and knowing the judgment of God, which they that commit such things are worthy of death, and not only who do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So it's not even the folks that do them, but if you agree with them and say that the stuff that they're doing is right, you deserve the same death that they deserve. And he's not talking about the regular death that everybody has. No. He's talking about being that final death, being cast out of the presence of God. And anybody, especially if you consider yourself a Christian, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought not be doing those things, ever. We need to be walking in the Spirit like it tells us in Galatians, right? Amen. Galatians chapter 5, in verse, well, we could go through, again, it's the same list. First, starting in 5 and 16, it says, of Galatians, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a super key right there. How do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit?
Absolutely surrender.
Amen. Morning and night. But you got to love, right? That's where Ephesians pulls in. And God will get you there. You love and you have compassion. And you move with empathy towards other people, not judging them. Not putting yourself higher than them. Not giving Satan a foothold in your life that would lead you to other things, right? And so you walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. So that you cannot do the things that you would. All right? The things that you used to do, you ought not do anymore. And then he goes through this list of all the fornication and all those things that he talks about in there. Envies and murders and reveling and such alike in verse 21. And he says in verse 20, here's one again. As I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All right? Mm-hmm. Who here wants that inheritance from the Lord? I want it. So you know what I'm not going to do? Give in to that list. Yeah. Or give in to this list, all right? Because as complete as that list is, there's still some ooey gooey stuff in me. Go ahead, Luke.
Do you think it's just like dwelling in it? I mean, obviously when people sin, deliberately sin.
Right.
I mean, I have a hard time thinking somebody's... I mean, sometimes people fall into it, but sometimes it's deliberate.
A Christian, let me get this squared away. A Christian who's indwelled with the Holy Spirit should know the sin because he leads us into all truth. I don't think that a true born-again believer stumbles into sin, right?
They have to sell them. Most of the time it's deliberate, premeditated.
It's my premeditated thing, right? And so Sinai is a big mountain that goes around and around. And, you know, they walked around Mount Sinai for all the years that they were in the wilderness because they sinned. So every time they came around to where they asked Moses to speak for them, they sinned against God right there. It reminded them. But every time they started coming close to that spot, it should remind you, oh, wow, in 2 days I'm going to come up here. All right, when we're getting tempted or we're about ready to do something that our flesh is addicted to. The Holy Spirit, when we're coming around to that spot, the Holy Spirit starts warning you over here. Curtis, you're on the wrong track.
Yeah.
You keep going this way, you're going to find yourself right back where you were.
All right?
When I quit drinking, or when God took drink away from me, because he did, when I quit drinking, I stopped.
Yeah.
Okay? But the way I stopped is I had to love my wife because I was drinking and ruined our marriage, all right? So I love my wife more than I love the drink. I love God more than all of that. And God was telling me, Curtis, if you're really going to have victory over this, you've got to change some things, all right? You've got to change the way that you go around town. You can't go. You can't drive by that bar that you used to hang out at and say, well, I'm just going to stop and talk to my buddies. As you stop and talk to your buddies, you're going to have a drink, right? And that just, so I had to change. I had to drive 5 miles out of my way to get to my house in the afternoon. Those type of things. I had to purposely not drive by the wine store, you know, because we stop and grab a bottle of wine. We'll have wine and sauce, you know, for dinner. And don't get me wrong, a glass of wine was fine. But I'd pop the cork and throw it away. It's a dead sailor. You pull the top off of that baby, it's gone. And that was me. So I could not do a little. So I had to change the whole habit. Because the Holy Spirit was telling me, Curtis, if you go by there, you're going to be tempted beyond what you can stand. So God gave me a way of escape.
Amen.
Right? And there is no temptation that will overtake you that's not common to man. But with every temptation, God gives you a way out of it. So if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, a Christian doesn't stumble into the sins of the flesh.
Amen.
And the devil doesn't make you do it.
No.
All right? Don't give the credit to the devil. It's not his. That's not his doing. That's your doing. Right? You do those things. And so if we're walking in the Spirit as He is in the Spirit, then we should be able to have the forewarning, you know, that we're going to do it. And then we have got to make a choice. You got to choose. Do you want what your flesh wants or do you want what God wants?
Exactly.
And as you do more of that, the further away you get from the other. right? The more you walk in the Spirit, the less of the flesh you do. See, I want to inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And if these things are the things that are going to keep me out of the inheritance of God, guess what I'm doing my very absolute best not to do?
Amen.
Those things.
Right.
Those things. But as you're saying, Kevin, I absolutely agree with that. I don't believe that a Christian stumbles into sin.
No.
Right? It is, the Holy Spirit warned you.
Right.
You ignored it. Right? No, geez, what's that? The levee broke in Louisiana. This is a side story, right? Levee broke in Louisiana. They warned him over the radio, hey, everybody get out of your house. The water's going to be rising. Those folks on this side of the road, you're going to drown. Your house won't last. Guy says, I believe in Jesus. I don't have to leave. God's going to rescue me. All right? So the water comes up, floods out his truck. He can't get out. So yeah, it comes up to his porch, so he gets on his couch, and they send a boat in there to come and get him, and says, oh no, Jesus is going to come get me, don't worry about it, I'm okay, no. Well, the water's rising, floods up to the second floor, he gets to the second floor, again, another boat comes by, more people, we're going to rescue you, come climb out of your window, no, Jesus is going to save me, I ain't got, and it floods up to the attic, he cuts a hole in the attic, God sends a helicopter to him. Right, helicopter, climb onto the ladder, we can save you. He says, no, don't worry about it, Jesus is going to rescue me. Well, he drowns.
Right.
He drowns. All right, when he goes before the Lord, he says, Lord, I thought you were going to save me. And Jesus said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What did you want? Right? What did you want? You had all of the opportunity to get out of that frame. You have all the opportunity not to fulfill the lust of the flesh because the waters are rising, those temptations are rising, and if you go down this road, that's where you're going to end up. If you've got a problem with the internet, right, you go on the internet and those little pop-up pictures go on the side, a shoe sale over at Macy's, right, or whatever, you know, and you, to guys it might be something different. But anyhow, those things will pop up, right, and you've got to turn off that garbage because before you know it, you're going to go where you're not supposed
exactly
to be.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you get out of it, right? Because God gives you a way to get past it, right? He gives you that way. And so, and he tells us that we're supposed to walk in love. And anybody who's a practicing fornication, right, practicing uncleanness, trust in their flesh more than they trust in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's really what he's saying here. Then you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. I don't care how many times you said the prayer, right? Because the prayer don't save you. You get converted when
Amen.
Jesus Christ
Amen.
Infects your life and changes you from darkness into light, right? And so and when that comes, then you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness.
That's right.
Right? When you're really born again, you really want it. I want this inheritance more than I want anything that this planet can provide. You know, all the gold, all the riches, all the pretty girls, all the stuff does not matter to the thing that God has promised in the
Amen.
Inheritance. You know? And so whatever it takes to get there. He says, verse 5 again, know this, that no whoremonger, all right, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Wow. Right? We really don't think that we have idols in America.
Yeah.
They even have a TV show on American Idol. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
And so you look at that. Do we have idols? Are we idol worshipers? You know? Now, maybe not in the cut stone stuff of yesteryear, but Facebook can be an idol. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that the internet, just the whole thing, for me right now is really sucking the life out of my mind is
YouTube.
Yeah, that's it. Down south they call it y'all too. But anyhow, YouTube right now, that's something that I'm battling with, right? And because you think, well, I'm just going to watch this one little stupid clip, all right? It's going to teach me how to mill a log, right? Okay, first of all, I don't own a sawmill.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I going to watch 20 minutes of somebody cutting a board?
Yeah.
And think about that. Or you watch 20 minutes of somebody, and you think it's just 20 minutes. Wait a minute. That's 20 minutes that should have been doing something else, but I was wasting it here doing this. Right? And those type of things. Grabbing a hold of the reality of right now.
Yeah.
Often, see, that they can become idols. There's nothing wrong with Facebook, really and truly, if you just use it as a tool. A lot of people use it to spread the gospel. There's nothing wrong with YouTube or Y'alltube. There's nothing wrong with that until you start worshiping that more than you desire time with God. There's nothing wrong with watching John Wayne movies, right?
No, I like
John Wayne.
How about The Walking Dead? I think anything like
that's just
does not
wrong.
Help your
Amen.
Head.
And we got to guard those eye ports, our ear ports, what we listen to on the radio.
Okay.
You know, that ear splitting louder boomer. Isn't that what Stephen Wolf called it way back in the day? On the way out, it's an ear splitting louder boomer. And so then I like smoking light, man. And so
much.
See how bad that is in my head? And so those things, you've got to take a hold of that. Because what you put into your ear port, what you put into your eye ports, those are the things that will easily lead you away from where you need to be with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They can become idols quicker than you think. He says in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." We talked about that last night when we were in Jude verse 4, false prophets, false teachers. Jude warns about it. Jesus warns about it. Paul warned them. I got the scriptures back there, just a few of them. There were over 100 places in the Bible that it was warning about false prophets, false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Those are false teachers. Folks that come in and say, oh, it's God's going to love you. Go ahead and be a fornicator. It's all right. You know, that idol worship, we don't have to worry about that in our time. Or the Old Testament, you don't have to read the Old Testament. You're a New Testament church. Those are false teachers.
Yeah.
All right? Those are the folks that anything that draws you away from God or God's word, His truth, His righteousness,
right.
We need to not be deceived by men who teach that kind of stuff.
Amen.
He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Right? And I think it was 2 Peter talks about that they're tempests, they're clouds that have no rain, right? And they're just making lots of noise. A thunderstorm that has nothing in them. But they make a lot of noise and get your attention.
Fluffernutters.
Wealth and prosperity. Blabbing and grabbing teachers.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so don't pay attention. Again, it's your eye port and your ear ports. It's what you're putting into your body.
Exactly right.
Right? You need to guard those things with a viciousness. All right? So fluffer nutters. I like that. Fluffer nutters. They're sweet to the taste, but they just go right to your hips.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Let no man deceive you with those vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be in God's blessing or do you want to be in God's wrath? I want His blessing. All right, so there's a way to stay out of His wrath.
Yeah.
Amen? Do not walk in the flesh. Right? And don't practice those things that are anti-God.
Amen.
Because they're there. Your heart wants to do them. You were born a sinner.
Yeah.
And from the time you get saved till the time you die, you are supposed to fight that fleshly desire.
Yeah.
That lust of the eyes, the lust of the ear, that pride of life. Fight those things. Because if you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, right? He'll flee.
Amen.
A lot of people say, resist the devil and he'll flee. And they forget the first part. Submit yourself to God. Because if you don't submit yourself to God, you can't resist the devil.
No.
Right? So you've got to first get this right between me and the Lord, that's got to be squared away.
Amen.
And when that gets squared away, now I am able to resist the devil and his temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put the Word of God on top of that. And not only do you have the direction of the Holy Spirit, but you've got the written Word of God that says, don't do these things, because if you do them, there's a payment for that. We'll call it a reward. There's a reward for sin. What is that? It's starts with D and ends in F.
Yeah.
Death, right? The payment of sin is death. And he's not talking about just stopping breathing and being put in a hole in the ground. He's talking about eternal damnation, being cast away from the very presence of God, losing your inheritance. Right? So you got to get that squared away first.
Amen.
All right? And if you really love God and you're really walking in the Spirit, then when you come around that thing, whatever that thing is, and you come around to that, the Holy Spirit will talk to you before you do
That's
it.
That's right. Amen.
And he'll warn you, say, don't go there. Because if you go there, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So turn. Right? Yeah. Turn or burn, baby. Turn. Don't do that, because when you go there, you're bringing the Holy Spirit with you, because he cannot leave you until the day of redemption. Again, it's right here in Ephesians. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So anytime you go to those things that please the flesh, that are against God, you're grieving the Holy Spirit that's in you. Right? And to have victory over that, you need to really be walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Choosing His will over your will. His Word over your will. Because sometimes our will is very strong. And that's where you have the Word of God that says, stop. Don't go there. Mm-hmm. This is the result of that. You can find it throughout the old scriptures, and you can find it through the new scriptures, that there are places that God does not want you to go, things he does not want you to do.
Amen.
And if you do those things, amen, it's walking in the fullness of the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
Walking in, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Yes. Now, when you look at that, Abraham believed God, what did he have to do after he believed God? Starts with O and ends with babe.
Obey,
right? He had to do what God told him to, right? God says, all right, Abraham, I know you. I'm talking to you. I want you to get up, leave your father's house. You know, go to a land that I'll show you. You had to obey God.
Amen.
God says, all right, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. You're an old man now, and I'm going to teach you how to circumcise everybody in your camp. Get a rock, sharpen it, a flint.
Poor man. He's shriveling right now.
Talk about a walk of faith. All right? All right, Abraham, I know you do, but that ain't happening. You know, really, truly. Yeah. Nipping. Have you ever seen anybody, another YouTube thing? I've been watching some baseball and arrowheads. I was wanting to try a flint. Or nip a flint, you know, make my own arrowhead out of it. But anyhow, I was thinking about that, and that thought of Abraham came across my head. He had to sit down there and make that sharp rock to circumcise everybody. And himself first.
Do you know what's behind the circumcision, that why the Jews did it?
Why?
Cleanliness.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because there's certain
bacteria and stuff.
That you
cannot
clean out if you don't circumcise.
There you go.
And that's not the thing.
No, it isn't. It makes everybody uncomfortable in the house.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. But why would we want to hurt the Lord? That's what
There you go, sister.
I don't want to hurt him.
Well, it's because we love ourselves more than we love God.
Yeah, I guess.
That's really the, if you get down, you boil it down to its least common denominator.
Yeah.
We love us more than we love him. That's why we don't follow him with the fullness of our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, because if we really feared the Lord, right? Because Abraham, he believed, he also feared God.
Yeah.
He honored him. He reverenced him. And actually, he was, when God, think of this, when God spoke, the mountain shook. I mean, that would be a frightening thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a frightening thing. And you hear the thundering of the voice of God, the mountains shaking, rocks are cracking all around you. Okay, God, I fear you. You know? And yet you think of that whole scene when those things were going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us in this place in Ephesians here, that don't let any man deceive you with vain words. See, a pastor might be more worried about the numbers in the congregation than the words of God. And so he'll never teach you these things. He'll teach you that. You just be the best you can be. Mm-hmm. When you're the best you can be, then you'll please God. Well, no, you won't. The best you can be is still like filthy rags Amen. Before the Lord. Amen. The best you can be is like that. All right? I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of what that really is. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all born-again Christians. We've been in the Scripture long enough. We know what he means. And I want to be better than a filthy rag before God. You know? So I need to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I need to walk resisting my fleshly desire.
Amen.
Especially when it's not his desire. Now, we do know that the Bible tells us that he will give us the desire of our heart. But what he tells us just before that, he changes our heart to his desire.
Yes, he puts it in.
Amen. Right. And when we have our heart aligned with his heart, then he gives us the desire of our heart. Right? Because if he just gave me what I wanted all the time, it would be spoiled brats. Right. It would be Antifa. And so let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So here you got another clear-cut thing right here. If you're obedient to God, you will not experience the wrath of God. If you're disobedient to God, you will experience the wrath of God. The Lord chasteneth those he loves.
Amen.
All right? Now, if you're living outside of what God tells you to live as a Christian, God's going to chase you. Right? He'll chase you down. And no chastening is pleasant at the moment. Mm-hmm. Right? But at the end of the chastening, when you learn what you're supposed to learn, you move forward from that, there comes life.
Amen.
Right? Right. Now, if you never learn what you're supposed to learn from that, then there comes death.
Right.
Then the inheritance is taken away from you. Which is a mind-blowing thing. So that's where Paul writes to the church in verse 7. It says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving that which is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them."
Amen.
All right? Expose them. That's what that reprove means. It means to expose them. All right? Now, I can't expose the work of darkness in your life. Can't do it, because I don't know it. Right. Ain't none of my business. I ain't your Holy Spirit. Right. Right? But when those works of darkness are in me, and you know when you're in a work of darkness because you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
When you know that that's there, confess it. Expose
Amen.
It. Bring
Amen.
It out. Yeah. If you're struggling with something, go to somebody who can hold you accountable. I think men need men of accountability that you can come to. And you can say, "Hey, man, I'm struggling with this."
Yeah.
And we will get together. We'll pray. We'll fight it together. We'll be accountability partners. Same thing with women. All right, you ladies, when y'all are struggling with something, don't keep it in. Don't talk behind each other's back. Men, don't talk behind each other's back. Face it, confront it, be honest with it, lay it out before the Lord, and deal with it.
Amen.
Expose it.
Amen.
See, no virus can live in the light.
No.
Right? No, even the COVID-19. You put the sunlight on it, it dies in seconds. Think everybody ought to lay out in the yard with their mouth open. Watch out for the birds. See, there I go again, just like that. And so anyhow, we need to reprove it. We need to expose those things that are unfruitful. We need to prove the things that are acceptable unto the Lord.
Right.
That means test those things. Prove them, test them, check them out. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything.
Right.
Test it. Because there are spirits out there that sound like God.
Oh my, yeah.
There are spirits out there, there are teachers out there that sound like they're teaching the truth. And if you don't know the truth of God's Word, you can easily be sucked into their web.
Amen.
You can, and you can lose a lot of reward that way.
Right.
You can believe sincerely, wholeheartedly, believe something that will send you to hell.
That's right.
And you can believe this all the way to the burning gates. Mm-hmm. Not the pearly gates, the burning gates.
Yeah.
Right? You can believe it all the way. And be sold out to that, but it does not make you right before God. We need to prove that thing that's acceptable to the God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Amen.
No fellowship. Don't even agree with those who are on the other side.
No.
All right? If I'm not trying to make this a political thing, but if your politician believes in murdering babies in the womb, get out of that.
Amen.
Do not side with them. If they believe that it's okay for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman, get away from that. It is ungodly. It's not in the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? It's unfruitful words. Now, I'm not saying we can't have compassion for those people. Just like a wild dog caught in a trap.
Yeah.
You can have compassion for them, but if you go release that trap without controlling the wild animal, they will chew you up.
Right.
Again, you too, y'all too. Fella had a bobcat caught in a tow trap. All right? And that bobcat, the guy wanted to set the bobcat free. The bobcat was having no part of it. You can't just walk up to that bobcat and say, "Hey, kitty, kitty, I want to let you free." That bobcat says, "My toe is hurting. I can't get loose. You come near me, I'm going to cut you a brand new one."
Right.
Same thing goes with a homosexual. Same thing goes with an abortion doctor. Same thing goes with those people who are lost in their darkness.
Yeah.
See, they're so lost in their darkness. Jesus said, and I believe it's Luke chapter 10, how deep, when the light that they perceive is darkness, then how deep is that darkness? What they're seeing, what they believe is right, but what they're believing is right is actually wickedness.
Amen.
All right? Mm-hmm. And when they believe that, then how deep, how deceived, mm-hmm. how far are they into that? It's like a bobcat with his toe caught in the trap.
Okay.
All you can do is do your best to get it free.
Yeah.
And so us in the real world, those folks who are murdering their babies, we need to tell them the truth. You got your toe caught in a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to set you free. Here's Jesus. All right? You know, the way they got that bobcat out, they had two guys, one guy with a long forked stick, and he took that long forked stick and they pinned that bobcat down, and another man released the trap. That's why Jesus tells us to go two by two. All right? Because one of you might have to hold the forked stick to keep that crazy person down while the other person lets them free from the trap. We got to do that. When we go out, when we witness, when we tell people about the love of Jesus, remember, they're hurting and they don't know why.
Right.
They're in need of something to be set free. And you're the only one who can do it. The Holy Ghost that's in you. You're the only one that can do it. But be careful when you do it and you try it by yourself, because they will turn on you and rent you. I don't mean like rent, like a house rent. They will tear you to pieces.
Yeah.
And so you just need to be careful about that. So, have no fellowship. Don't agree. Don't go on their side. You be light in darkness. Don't let the darkness interfere with the light that's in you. Okay? And so, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame. I think we ought to start using that word a little bit more. Y'all remember when it was a shame to do something?
Yes.
Shame on you.
Not anymore.
No, there is no shame anymore.
No.
You know, it was, I mean, I don't know. My folks told me shame on you so much. Mm-hmm. I probably deserved every one of them. But, you know, there was, I had an idea that there was something that was not right and it needed to be shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Back before 1960, it was shameful to have unwedded, my others.
Oh, my God.
A divorce was shameful in the 1950s. Not that it didn't happen, but it was shameful. Now it's celebrated.
I know.
You know, now it's celebrated. And what happened to that idea that there's a righteousness and then there's unrighteousness, and the unrighteousness is shameful? There is a standard there that we have lost.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't think we can get it back. Because once you open the proverbial Pandora's box, you can't put it back in. The wickedness, well, that's where the Bible says, the wicked are just going to get more wicked.
Yeah.
It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. We're not getting smarter. You know that? Everybody says, oh, people nowadays are so much smarter than what they were back in the old days. Give them two sticks and have them make a fire.
Yeah, right.
All right? Tell them to move a stone that weighs more than they do. Now, I know my granddaddy Fitz, he could move houses on a rock. You know, well, we moved the outhouse. How small? It's just a small outhouse, but still. You know, he moved it, didn't break it. And what we did, we tilted it up on one side, and he put a rolling stick on it.
Right.
Right? And he had to roll it, and put another stick on it, roll it, until we got it over the new hole.
Yeah.
Right? I had to dig the hole first. Okay, dig, because if not, it just didn't work. Not for long. But anyhow, people don't know how to do that. My granddad, he made his own nails. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know how to do that anymore. Anybody here know how to shoe a horse? And your daughter does.
Well, I did it once in a while.
Uh-huh, yeah. You know? And I know that there's hunters here and stuff like that, but the majority of Americans today don't know how to pluck a chicken.
Nope. Or gut it.
Or gut it. Or do it. I mean, really and truly, when Wegmans runs out of food, what are you going to do? Right? What's that? I can skin a buck, I can run a triathlon, a country boy will survive, right? Yeah. The problem is there's not many people that have basic survival skills anymore.
Right, right.
You know? In this small congregation here, I'm sure there's somebody who knows how to do this. Can you catch a squirrel without a gun? Do you know how to snare a squirrel?
No.
I didn't ever do that. And if you did catch one, do you know how to clean it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know when the wrong time is? Do you know that there are certain times that squirrels have these things called wolves in them? They're worms that get underneath their skin, makes them eat no good. So you got to wait till after the first frost before you kill them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, because if not, you got a big old hard worm in there, you can't eat them. Well, you can eat it, it just ain't any good. It's really bitter and nasty. And so, anyhow. But those things, there's things that, you know, that we don't know anymore. You know, how to build something out of stone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's why I was looking at how to chip an arrowhead. You know, and who knows how to do that stuff anymore. We think that we're smarter because we have cell phones. Because we got Google, all right? People live for thousands of years without Google.
Amen.
You know? And anyhow.
Pastor, yes, I believe that we were born with as much intelligence when God made us as we have now.
Yeah.
We did not evolve it.
No.
We learned things, but we're intelligent.
Absolutely. Well, remember, Adam had 100% of his brain.
Yeah.
He used every, because when God made him, said he said, it is good. He didn't say this is working 90%. And now we're not working even 90%. We only use, from what I understand, 10%. Mm-hmm. That means 90% of the ability that you have has been blocked off by stupidity. All right?
I guess so.
You look at it. They made pyramids.
Yeah.
Huge, huge blocks. Hundreds of tons, move them miles and miles and miles. We can't build a straight wall.
Right.
A plumb line. Does anybody know how to use a plumb line? Yeah. Jim does. You know? Right? A plumb, it's simple.
It is.
And nobody knows how to use one.
Yeah.
Most folks don't know how to use a level.
Yeah, I know.
Right? And we think we're going somewhere. Anyhow, I don't know how I got off on that. But it's a shame to do those things. That's where it was, is just that we lost that shamefulness. Because
right.
We think we're so smart.
Yeah.
We think we're so smart. I don't need to be ashamed of nothing anymore. I can do what I want to.
Yeah.
And no, you're going to stand, you'll stand before God and all those secret things that you should have been ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, shame on you. To hell with you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, folks, I don't think that the church is prepared. I really don't think the church in America is prepared for the judgment of God.
No.
You know, I'm not talking about the wrath of God. We know that those who are born again will not see the wrath of God. That's scripture. We know that. But there's a time that happens before the wrath of God. There's some troubles. There's some tribulations. There's some things that are going to happen. And I really don't believe that the church in America is prepared for 95% of it. Because they don't read their word. I read this statistic, and I'm going to stop after this. They said like 85% of the pastors are hooked on pornography in America.
Gosh, that's terrible.
Isn't that is horrible. And that was on a Christian polling site. That wasn't, you know, what was that? Covenant Eyes? So we got off of that website. That was helping people off of pornography and stuff, and so they had all the statistics and stuff. 85%. That's huge. But you look, 95% of the church is closed because the governor told them to.
Well, they drank the Kool-Aid.
Amen.
The people are still drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes, they are. You know? And yeah. Expect that big old Kool-Aid guy to come around too. You probably don't remember that commercial. Okay. And so anyhow, verse 13, but all these things are reproved and made manifest by light, by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Herefore, he saith, awaken thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. All right. And we'll talk about the rest of this, because there's a redeeming time. There's so much left in this, and I chased too many rabbits. Well, no, it's just a long chapter. So praise God. We'll stop right there. We got to verse 14, from 1 through 14. 14. I'll write it down here so I'll remember next week. All right. So praise God.
Amen.
Let's lift this up before the Lord. I pray that you heard something tonight. One thing that made you think. All right. Another thing made you giggle. You know, one thing made you want to be better. Amen? Made you want to dig a little deeper. So let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your awesome spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have called us out of the darkness into your light. Father, you've given us the instruction. And you gave us your Holy Spirit, too, that comforter that leads us into all righteousness.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you would raise up your church to follow your written word and the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we would have the inheritance, Lord, that's set apart for us.
Yes.
God, that's all I'm asking. That's all we're seeking. I don't want any more than what you have planned for me.
Amen.
Because my eye has not seen, or my ear, or my thought, my heart even thought about the things you have in store for those who love you. So, Father, we love you. Lord, I pray for us for the rest of this week, that you would help us, that you would guide us, that you would expose the evil to us before we get into it. And, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you on those things. In Jesus' name, amen.